This morning we thought about training for godliness, but tonight we want to take a step back and think, what do you cling to for life? What do you cling to for life? Could it be having a fit body like we thought about briefly this morning? Do you cling to children or even grandchildren for your life and meaning? Do you trust your career to bring life? Perhaps being in tune with nature, learning and knowing more than others. What about your favorite political candidates or policies being enacted? Or maybe your life depends on simply being well-liked at school or work or even church. Do you look to a well-padded retirement fund for life? And there's many other things I could list off. Or do you struggle to even answer that question at all? Life just kind of seems to drag on, day by day, slowly, and you don't know how to answer that question. What you'll discover tonight is that all of these responses are normal, and they have been normal for thousands of years. And that's what we're going to learn from our text this evening, which is Psalm 119:25. Join me in turning there now near the middle of your Bibles and on the back of the handout that you may have received. Psalm 119 is 176 verses communicating the same idea over and over again, and that is a love for God's word. It's a love song where each stanza is eight verses, each starting with a repeated Hebrew letter over and over. So I just read Dr. Seuss's ABCs to my daughter this week. You know, big A, little A, what begins with A? Auntie Annie's alligator, A. But instead of Auntie Annie's alligator, we get God's word, God's law, God's statutes, God's precepts, God's commandments, and on and on and on. It's like an ABC song, but every letter is God's word, and that's what matters most. So this was meant to be musically memorized and then taught to others and passed on as a way to remember how good God's word is. That's what the entire psalm is communicating. Zooming out a little bit, we're in book five of the Psalms. Psalms is divided into five books. This is the last one, which slowly builds psalm by psalm into a fever pitch of praise in the last verse of Psalm 150. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So we're in Psalm 119, but the author of this psalm is not clearly stated, and we don't have a clear historical context from the passage. But whether it's written in the time of David or later in Israel's history after returning from exile, whenever it was written, it's clear that we're not to focus on the context surrounding the psalm, but on the content of the psalm itself. So we're going to focus on verse 25 tonight alone. So turn there now and read along with me. Psalm 119, 25 says, "My soul clings to the dust. Give me life according to your word. My soul clings to the dust. Give me life according to your word." I think the main idea that this is teaching us is that we need to cling to the word of God, because his word alone gives life. If you take one thing away tonight, please hear that you need to cling to the word of God because his word alone gives life. That's the main idea of this passage, but the inverse is also true, that everything else that we cling to outside of God's word ultimately brings death. So we have two options, and that's what we're going to reflect on tonight, the two options that we have with a text like this. Either clinging to the dust or clinging to God's word alone. So whatever else we cling to in this life, whatever else we set our hope in outside of God's word is dust. Let's think about that first. That word cling in verse 25, we don't use that often, but it also has a meaning of cleave. It's translated elsewhere as cleave. We get the image of a man cleaving to his wife, this intimate connection, but instead of a man and wife, we get the psalmist hitching himself, holding on to, cleaving himself to dust. Just dust, chaff that blows away in the wind. Verse 25 begins a stanza which offers further explanation of this term dust. So if you have your Bibles open, you can look at verse 28 for more context on what dust is saying, what this word means. Verse 28 employ some of the same key phrases. So we read, "My soul melts away for sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word." Those same key phrases are used. And so we can understand clings to the dust as synonymous with melts away for sorrow. And we can understand give me life in parallel with strengthen me. So when I say that whatever else we cling to in this life outside of God's word is dust, that's not a neutral statement. Dust is not neutral. There's nothing in this life that is merely neutral. Dust in the Bible does not refer to mere dirt, the stuff on the bottom of our shoes. Dust is the sorrowful death found in this life. That's common to all men. Clinging to dust for life is like holding on to quicksand for hope. It's really fitting that people see mirages in dusty deserts. They see false images of life. Dust is chaff. It's fading, and it's ultimately worthless. But hold on. That list that I read at the beginning, a lot of those were really good things. How many of those were blessings from the Lord? It's a blessing from the Lord to have children, grandchildren, to love and raise in the faith. It's amazing to have that. It's a kindness of God for him to provide a job that gives a fair wage, puts food on our table and roofs over our head. It's wonderful to seek knowledge and bring others along in their pursuit of knowledge. It's right to care for our bodies, as we've thought about the past couple weeks, as temples of the Holy Spirit. And I could go on. All these are good, but these are not worth relying on. Yet relying on any one of these or countless other good earthly things as our ultimate source of life only delivers you death. Making any one of these ultimate delivers death. But perhaps you aren't a Christian or aren't sure if you're a Christian, and you don't really see what the big problem is. You're not seeing how sorrowful and empty just trying to live a nice life is. For that, we need to look beyond just this text. We need to zoom out, and you need to know the God with which we've been singing about and reading about and talking about tonight. This God, he created man and woman to live in loving fellowship with him forever. But humans rejected him, this good, life-giving God, to rule themselves and ultimately cling to the things of this world instead of him. And all of us have done this. This is sin. This is rejecting the Lord, and all of us are under a death sentence for it. But this same life-giving God who was rejected was rich in mercy. He sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, to us. God's very word became flesh for us. This perfect Jesus was born in a dusty manger, was tempted and tried in the dusty desert. He washed the dust off his disciples' feet. He bore the penalty of our sins on a dirty, bloody, dusty cross, died and was buried in a borrowed, dusty tomb. But the story wasn't over. On the third day, he rose in victory to new life. He reversed the famous curse, "From dust you came, and to dust you shall return." He reversed that curse, and he ascended to the right hand of the Father and will come again to judge the living and the dead. Right now, in between his first coming and his second coming, this very hour, he actually offers life and forgiveness through his death and resurrection to anyone who would turn from sin and trust in him alone, not the futile things of this world, for salvation. And you can't delay on this, because ultimately you will receive what you cling to. You will receive dust or God's word made flesh for you. You will receive life or death. So if you want to talk more about this, please find me or any member of UBC who can faithfully explain this gospel to you. We've reflected on the empty things that we can idolize, but I want to reflect on the sweetness of God's word. Contrast this dust and emptiness with God's word. As we heard from 1 Timothy this morning, earthly training is of some value. Things in this life are of some value. Can't be ignored. But training in the word, quote, holds hope for the present life and the life to come. Do you have that consequence in mind when handling a difficult passage, when opening up your Bible? I want to help you keep in mind the promises and effects of God's word. So as you open up God's word, just remember some of the effects of it. Abraham went from an idolater to becoming our spiritual forefather. How? Because God spoke to him. So Israel went from a ragtag band of ex-slaves to become the very people of God on earth. Why? Because God spoke to them. Ezekiel watched a valley of dry bones become living worshipers of God. And how did he do that? By just faithfully speaking God's word. How does the book of Acts, as we studied recently, how does it describe the church's growth? It says, quote, the word of God increased and multiplied. Talking about Christians. Christians today, just like in ancient times, are products of God's word. And all Christians love to help others understand God's word as well. Just from a conversation this week with a new believer, I got to talk through just two of these signs of a Christian. Love for God's word and love for God's people, and how those interplay with one another. I want to close with just a few thoughts on how we can do this as a church, how we can love God's word and love one another with it. Starting really, really basic, really small. Do you own a Bible? We have red Bibles in the seatbacks before you, and we would love to give those to you. Take that as our gift. If you struggle to summarize the Bible's complete story, so maybe you're unfamiliar with it, but you have one, consider picking up a children's Bible at the bookstall. It simplifies the word so that anybody can understand it. So getting communal, have you asked another member of UBC to read the word with you? I had a friend ask me last year, how can I be a better friend to you? And I said, I need someone to read the word with. Can you do that with me? So offer that and ask for that. And if it's awkward at first, give it time. Bear with one another in patience, because it'll take a while to see the effects of God's word in your life. Do you prioritize a Sunday morning gathering? So staying communal, do you prioritize this gathering of God's people? Both to love God's people and to love God's word, specifically the public teaching of God's word. So maybe clinging to God's word means just faithful, quiet anticipation and listening, as we thought about in 1 Timothy 2, and that applies to all believers. Do you trust the word to do the work in evangelism? So thinking outside these walls, evangelism depends on the word. Just sharing personally, I had someone share John 3:16 with me as a child, and that was huge in my conversion. The thing is, I don't remember who shared that with me. I don't remember the person who shared that verse with me. But I can tell you, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, and whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life, as we've reflected on. Life comes through Christ. On the flip side of that, so thinking personally, do you search the scriptures for good theology, but maybe you're like the Pharisees and you don't see how all the scriptures point to Jesus? Maybe your heart's grown cold to him, even though you love his word. And I would reflect on that and pray through that. Thinking if you're overstretched, maybe you're reading the Bible often with others, and you're in several Bible studies, and your heart's grown cold to the living God that you're studying. Maybe slow down and learn to pray through the word, and ask others to pray for you and your love for God through his word. Psalm 119:25, our text this evening, is after all a prayer to God to give life according to his word. Are we praying through the scriptures together? Lastly, I want to talk to you if you have a sensitive conscience. If you're hearing this list of applications and you're feeling condemned, I haven't done any of these, Sam. I don't know what to do. I'm condemned and I don't really know where to start. I want to ask, do you want to have a desire to read God's word? Do you desire to have a desire to read God's word, if that makes sense? So if you have that little seed of good desire, I would just pray that you would feed that and water it by involving others in your life. Ask others to pray for your desire to read God's word. Just a simple application there, if you're feeling overwhelmed by any of these applications. But these are just a few ways that we can train ourselves in godliness by clinging to God's word for life, because his word alone gives life. So we'll slowly patiently grow as a church in our love for the Lord by leaning on his word. That connection is clear in Scripture. And ultimately, our identity and meaning will start to be drawn from the one who says he is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the life, and we have to learn about him from his word, from nowhere else. So just in closing, we can choose to cling to dust, the temporary empty things of this world, or we can seek life everlasting in the unfading promises of God. They're unfading, they're imperishable, they're not like dust, they're not like chaff. Brothers and sisters, cling to the word of God because his word alone gives life. So will we do that together in this life and the life to come? Please pray with me. Father God, we pray that you would give us life according to your word. We thank you for revealing your character and your promises to us. We thank you for your son, Jesus, who is your word made flesh. Father, help us to see where we are clinging to earthly things instead of your word, trusting in dust to save us. Grow our affection for you and what you have spoken to us, your people. We pray these things in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen.